have your Bibles, you may be turning to Genesis chapter 3. We'll be reading from this in just a few moments. Genesis chapter 3. Somebody asked me a while ago, says, what are you preaching on tonight? And I said, I'm going to tell the biggest lie that you've ever heard. And that kind of puzzled. You're going to tell lies tonight? I'm going to talk about the biggest lie that has ever been. You know, a liar is someone who knows the truth but tells something different. In the Quran, Muhammad wrote of two sinless lies that his followers could tell. A woman can tell a lie to save her life. A woman can tell a lie in times of war. Now, men, that just left us out, didn't it? We have to be honest regardless, according to Muhammad. In the Mahabharata, Krishna wrote five sinless lies that man can tell as they follow our Krishna. You can lie in connection with your marriage. That's interesting, isn't it? You can lie for the gratification of lust. Boy, who is this fellow that everybody's following? You can lie to save someone's life. You can lie to protect your property. And you can lie in behalf of a holy man. You kind of wonder about this fellow's line of thinking. Now, some of you have heard his name probably quite a bit. The Beatles wrote a song about him. And the Beatles followed this particular character in their religious path. But look what they were following. Tonight I want to talk about a lie. I want to talk about the biggest lie that has ever been told. It is found in Genesis chapter 3. And this lie was so big that it affects you and me today. And it will affect mankind as long as time stands. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise. She took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. You know, Jesus speaks of the devil's lies. John chapter 8 and verse 44. Speaking to the Pharisees, you are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning. He does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now the actual lie came from Genesis 3 and verse 4, when the serpent said to Eve, you will not surely die. Specifically, what Satan was telling Eve was that she and Adam could sin against God and get away with it. And you know, people today are believing that very same lie. Now, what I want to do tonight, I want to talk about four mistakes that Eve made in this story. And It is the same mistakes that we make today when we deal with Satan and when we deal with sin. First one is this. She rationalized her sin. Now, food was not a problem in the Garden of Eden. God had said they could eat of any tree in the garden except the one, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. In doing this, God had allowed them the maximum of fruit, and had just put a very minimum restriction on them. They could have never complained, God didn't give us anything to eat. Because it was all there right before them. You know, the fact is, we don't need anything more than what God has given to us. Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Eve's problem was not the fact that she couldn't get any fruit that she wanted to eat. The food was there. Eve's problem was she had what we call an issue with situation ethics. She listened as Satan rationalized her need for this fruit. You know, Satan was using a tool that was really made famous to man in the words of William Shakespeare. We've all heard it. Oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive. What did Satan do with Eve on that day? He deceived her. Satan is causing her to see that tree in a way that she had never seen it before. Now, chances are she had seen that tree before. And she walked right on by it and never gave it a thought because she knew the command of God. But now he has caused her to see it differently. She, in her mind before, knew the deadliness of the fruit that that tree had. And now Satan had deceived her into seeing false benefits of the fruit of that tree. Eve's second mistake was that she saw that the tree was pleasant to look at. You know, Lot's wife had the same problem. We read of Lot's wife in Genesis 19 when God is destroying Sodom and Gomorrah and he's warning the one man who followed him, Lot and his family, to get out. Lot's wife, along with Eve, they longed for that they could not have. Lot's wife turned around to see it again as she fled with her husband to get away and was told, don't even turn around and look at it, just run. But we find that she did turn around and as a result was turned into a pillar of salt. You know, sometimes the eyes cannot see the whole picture. You ever look at an oil painting? From a far distance, an oil painting looks perfect. It is beautiful. It is colorful. But the closer you get to that oil painting, you begin to see the brush marks. You begin to see maybe the mismatch of color, whether it was done on purpose or a mistake. An oil painting up close looks a lot different than an oil painting that is far away. The closer you get to it, you see the inconsistencies of it. Y'all remember the old Timex watches? I used to wear a Timex watch when I was a kid. You know, a watch can look beautiful on the outside, but be broken and not work. Now, Timex watches were not near as pretty and flashy as some of the other watches. Now, the watches in my day that were beautiful were the Bulova watches, the Hamilton watches, the Elgin watches. Y'all remember those brands? They were beautiful. They were covered in gold and diamond, and they would just flash and glimmer when you walked by. But they broke a lot. And the Timex did exactly what the advertisement said it did. It just kept right on ticking. Jesus talked about the drinking cup that the Pharisees saw too was beautiful on the outside. But he said, you need to clean the inside of that cup as well. Being pretty on the outside is one thing, but the inside needs to be right as well. There is so much more to anything than just appearance. The outside may be the thing that gets your attention, but it's almost always the inside that matters. Young people, think about that when you're looking for a mate. No matter how pretty they seem to be, or as Philip says, hot, what's on the inside is what better be hot, because that's what's going to matter as the days go on. Paul said, examine all things. Hold to that which is good. It didn't say hold to that which appears to be good. But this was a mistake that Eve made. She looked at that fruit and saw it pleasing. The third mistake that Eve made, she wanted that fruit to be wise. Satan told her, God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God. You will know good and evil. Now in her mind, she could probably see that happening to her. She had never given any thought of anything like that, but now he has laid this on her mind. Do you ever do that? Have you ever seen something and wish you had it? Or you've seen somebody do something and you can just see yourself doing the same thing and doing it as good as they do? I've been there. As a musician, I have been there. I follow a guitarist. His name is Doyle Dykes. He is an incredible guitar player. And I listened to him, and I could just see myself doing the things that he does with a guitar. Now, I am nowhere close to Doyle Dykes in playing a guitar, but I hear him, and I can just see myself doing that. We've all done that. Satan says, Eve, look at what you can be. You can be like God. And Eve's response is, wow, I can be like God? Many people believe in evolution today because someone that they consider to be of the most intelligent source have said, you should believe in evolution. People who write our school textbooks tell you, you need to believe in this. The ones who teach our classes in our schools, they tell you, you need to believe in this. Now, I'll tell you, evolution was taught when I was in high school, and it's been 50 years since I've been in high school. But they taught evolution in high school. But my teachers would approach it like this. Evolution is a theory, not a fact. We all know that God created life as we know it. But by law, I have to present this evolution theory to you. Can you imagine what would happen to a teacher today who said something like that? Not only would they immediately lose their job, but they would have every court in the land attacking them. Because that's what we are supposed to believe. God didn't do this. An explosion did it, or some single-celled animal that grew 2 feet and crawled out of the water. We're supposed to believe that? The saddest thing about this is that many times we, like Eve, think that we can outsmart God. You ever thought you were able to outsmart someone? Don't always work, does it? No, it don't. Let me read to you something Paul wrote about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning with verse 20. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who did believe. For the Jews request a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, and to the Jews is a stumbling block, and to the Greeks it is foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God, listen to this part, the foolishness of God is wiser than men. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. What value is it in being wise and thinking you know everything and then lose your soul? You know, Jesus asked this very same question in Matthew 16, verse 26. He said, what is it a profit to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? I got to tell you, my friends, when it comes to this, I thank God for my stupidity. Because it makes me realize I can't do this by myself. I need someone wiser than me to help me travel down this road. Eve's fourth mistake was the fact that she shared this fruit. You know, sin is like cancer. If it's left untreated, it will grow and spread. When my wife came down with cancer a couple of years ago, the doctors wasted no time dealing with it. We were in the surgeon's office the next week, and the week after, the surgery was done. Chemotherapy was immediately set up. Radiation was immediately set up. They got it done just like that. Why? Why the hurry? Because cancer spreads. And as it spreads, it destroys everything. So does sin. Eve shared her sin with her husband. And he gave in to it just like she did and committed sin himself. Let me tell you something, friends. Don't sin just because someone else does. Don't sin just because someone says to you, you need to do this. My mother told me to never ride my bicycle without holding on to the handlebars. My response was, well, Tommy does it. If Tommy asked you to ride that bicycle over a cliff, would you do it? Think about that. Now, I have to tell you, when I was growing up as a child, that was my method of transportation. I rode my bicycle every day. And I did it a lot without holding on to my handlebars. I became very proficient at riding my bicycle without holding on to the handlebars. I could sway from side to side in the road, and I could miss the potholes. I could even make a turn onto another street, right or left, without holding on to those handlebars. I could do anything that I wanted to do. I had one of those multi-speed, perfectly balanced English racers that they could turn on a dime, stop on a dime, and they were just a perfectly balanced bike until they found that loose rock in the road. And it doesn't matter how proficient you are. If you're on a bicycle and you're not holding on to the handlebars and that bike hits that loose rock, you're going down. And there ain't a power on earth to keep you from it. Don't we do the same thing? Don't we pedal down through life not holding on to God and to God's word, and all of a sudden we see Satan's loose stone right there in front of us? And even with that, we don't grab onto the bar, we just try to ease our way around it. And that don't always work. Remember what Paul said, 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. And I love the next verse. Awake to righteousness, Paul said, and do not sin. Why? Because some do not have the knowledge of God. I'm in that category, folks. I don't have the knowledge of God. I doubt that anybody in here has the knowledge of God. Who do you think you are trying to outsmart him? No one does. It's the biggest lie. You can't sin against God and get away with it. It will find you out. Oh, maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, maybe not next week, next month, next year. But it will surface again. So what is the cure for this lie? It sure has destroyed a lot of people. It continues to destroy a lot of people. And it will continue to destroy a lot of people. The lie says that you can sin and get away with it. But the truth of God's word says that the wages of sin is death. So who are you going to believe? You going to believe your own wisdom and say, oh, I know what I can get away with? Or are you going to believe the one that's a little bit smarter than you are? You're not going to get away with it. This evening, if you're outside of Christ, don't believe the lie that you can stay in sin. Don't believe the lie that you can go out into eternity and God's not going to destroy you, because he will. He has already said he would. Give your life to him today. Christian, don't believe the lie that you can't fall from grace. Yes, you can. We have example after example in the scriptures where Christians have done that very thing. It's a lie. And if you fall, don't believe the lie that it's okay. I'm human. I make mistakes. God knows that. Yes, he does. That's why he made it possible for you to come back. But you have to come back. So if there is sin in your life, come back. Repent of that sin. Let us pray with you and for you. God has promised to forgive. Don't believe that big lie that sin is okay, because it's not. Tonight, if you need to respond to the invitation, please come while we stand and sing.